भागिरिवरधारी राधारी जय राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदनंदन भज जन रंजन भज जन रंजन रंजन जामुना तीरावन चारी री जामुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जामुना तीरावन चारी जामुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजकाचार्य अस्तोत्तर शत श्री श्रीपाद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस ए सी भक्ति वेदांता स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की इस्कॉन फाउंडाचार्य श्री प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथ राज श्रीमद्भागवताम की ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंगा ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Okay, we are studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 18, Verse Number 5. Tvai samstite gadaya shirna shirshani Asmad bhuja chutaya ye chatubhyam बलिं हरन्त्य ऋषयो ये च देवा स्वयं सर्वेन भविष्यन्ति अमूला Please chant and you can change the meter if you want if this doesn't sound too good.
Twayi samstite gadaya shirna shirshani
अस्माद्भुजाच्युतय बलिं हरन्त्यऋषयो च ये च देवा स्वयं सर्वे न भवष्यन्त्यमूला त्वयि संस्थिते गदया शीर्णशीर्षनी अस्माद्भुजाच्युतया ये चतुभ्यं बलिं हरन्त्यऋषयो ये च देवा स्वयं सर्वे न भविष्यन्त्यमूला त्वयि संस्थिते गदया शीर्णशर्षनी अस्माद्भुजाच्युतया ये चतुभ्यं बलिं हरन्त्यऋषयो ये च देवा स्वयं सर्वे न भविष्यन्त्यमूला त्वयि संस्थिते गदया शीर्णशीर्षनी अस्माद्भुजाच्युतया ये चतुभ्यं बलिं हरन्त्यऋषयो ये च देवा स्वयं सर्वे न भविष्यन्त्यमूलः त्वयि संस्थिते गदया शीर्णशीर्षनी अस्माद्भुजाच्युतया ये चतुभ्यं बलिं हरन्त्यऋषयो ये च देवा स्वयं सर्वे न भविष्यन्त्यमूला Anyone else? Sarah's wants to try. Twayi samstite gadaya shirna shirshani. Asmad bhuja chutaya ye chatubhyam. बलिं हरन्त्यऋषयो ये च देवा स्वयं सर्वे न भविष्यन्त्यमूलः थैंक यू वर्ड टू वर्ड्स त्वयि वेन् यू संस्थिते आर् किल्ड् गदया बै द मेस् शीर्णा स्मेश्ड् शीर्षणी Skull, Asmad Bhuja, from my hand, Chutaya, released, ye, those who, cha, and, Tubhyam, to you, Balim, presentations, Haranti, offer, Rishaya, sages, ye, those who, Cha and Deva, demigods, Swayam, automatically, Sarve, all, Na, not, Bhavishyanti, will exist, Amulaha, without roots. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The demon continued, when you fall dead with your skull smashed by the mace hurled by my arms, The demigods and sages who offer you oblations and sacrifice and devotional service will also automatically cease to exist like trees without roots. Purport. Demons are very much disturbed when devotees worship the Lord in the prescribed ways recommended in the scriptures. In the Vedic scriptures, the neophyte devotees are advised to engage in 9 kinds of devotional service, such as to hear and chant the holy name of God, to remember him always, to chant on beads, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, to worship the Lord in the form of his deity incarnations in the temples, and to engage in various activities of Krishna consciousness to increase the number of godly persons for perfect peace in the world. We're just hearing Mother Mukhya talking about, Vaisheshika Prabhu talking about that. Demons do not like such activity. They're always envious of God and his devotees. Their propaganda not to worship in the temple or church, but simply to make material advancement for satisfaction of the senses is always current. The demon Hiranyaksha, upon seeing the Lord face to face, wanted to make a permanent solution by killing the personality of Godhead with his powerful mace. The example of an uprooted tree mentioned here by the demon is very significant. Devotees accept that God is the root of everything. Their example is that just as the stomach is the source of energy of all the limbs of the body, God is the original source of all energy manifested in the material and spiritual worlds. Therefore, as supplying food to the stomach is the process to satisfy all the limbs of the body, Krishna consciousness, or developing love of Krishna, is the sublime method for satisfying the source of all happiness. The demon wants to uproot this source because if the root, that is God, were to be checked, the activities of the Lord and the devotees would automatically stop. The demon would be very much satisfied by such a situation in society. Demons are always anxious to have a godless society for their sense gratification. According to Sridhar Swami, this verse means that when the demon would be deprived of his mace by the personality, Supreme Personality of Godhead, not only the neophyte devotees, but also the ancient, sagacious devotees of the Lord would be very much satisfied. Read the verse again. The demon continued, "When you fall dead with your skull smashed by the mace hurled by my arms, the demigods and sages who offer you oblations and sacrifice in devotional service will also automatically cease to exist like trees without roots." Nama Om Shripadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaura Bani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tharine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpaturupascha, Kripasandubhyevacha, Patitanam, Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namaha. So demons are very intelligent. They are intelligent, actually. I can say they think they're intelligent, but they are intelligent. So here we see Hiranyaksha. He has the understanding that that if I kill you, then all the demigods and sages who offer you oblations and sacrifice, they will automatically cease to exist. And that is Hiranyaksha's desire to finish the demigods. So he knows they have enough intelligence what to do. So he's thinking, okay, let me just finish this person and the root cause, and then that will be it. Not only that, you see that how he said such mean things to the Supreme Lord, like really mean stuff, like it's an amphibious beast, and now he's like really trying to get him, you know, edge him, like, okay, this is who you are, and this is what I'm going to do to you. And believe me, all these things, these expressions that Hiranyaksha was saying to the Lord, it hurt him. We will hear in the next verse that they were painful. So Hiranyaksha knew what he's doing. He's purposely doing it and purposely hurting the feelings of the Supreme Lord. Because that is how their intelligence works. So they have intelligence. It's just they use it in the wrong way. I mean, yesterday we were hearing from Pushkar Prabhu so many of those different pasts and different demons, whether it was Pandaraka or whether it was Kamsa or Vrikasura, or he mentioned so many demons. We heard about all those demons and how they were acting with Lord Krishna. So the demons are definitely intelligent, and in one sense, we can see they believe in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If they didn't believe in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they wouldn't try to finish him. So you have to see the plus side about some of these things, about the demons, you know, how their intelligence and how they think. And Prabhupada mentions that these things are current. He said, he said somewhere that to stop these activities is current. Trying to stop the, here it is. It says, their propaganda not to worship in the temple or church, but simply to take material advancement for satisfaction of the senses is always current. So it's not like this is something of the past. It's current. I was remembering, and maybe some of you were aware of this movie that came out, a Bollywood movie came out in 2012, and it was called Oh My God. I don't know if you remember that, or some of you. No? I think that was the name of the movie. Shamadashi, do you know if that was the name? Okay, Oh My God. And somehow other that movie came into my head. I was reading this. That, I didn't realize that when I became familiar about that movie at that time. But I realized what the producer was doing about in that movie. Very smart. This guy was very smart to put a movie out like this. The goal of this movie was to stop deity worship. But he did in such an amazing way. In this movie, it shows that this atheist was he had a shop of murti. He was a murtiwala, but he didn't believe in deity worship. He was an atheist. And I'm not going to go through the story, but you can watch it if you want. but the fact was that what happens basically, he was going to sue God, and Krishna comes to him. And Krishna helps him because he was going to sue the insurance company. So Krishna comes to help him, to get money from the insurance company. Basically, in the end, this guy becomes a believer of God, but in the end, Krishna says to him that this people who worship deities is just a man-made thing. It's just man-made. This has nothing to do with our scriptures. Krishna is telling him that. So he becomes it from an atheist, he becomes a theist, and starts believing in Krishna. But the end of the story is that they demolish all the temples. So they're talking about, basically, Manava Seva is Madhava Seva. Prabhupada talks about that. Yeah, Manava Seva is Madhava Seva. So I'm like, when I was thinking about this, how Prabhupada said that they're, how demons are, I was thinking, this is such a demonic movie. Because they planted a seed that how they are showing that how this atheist became a theist, and how Krishna told him that the worshiping of deities is actually offensive and it's just man-made. Can you imagine what it does to the people? For people who are atheists, or people who already believe in that, or people who basically want sense gratification. So, this is current. Deity worship is something, people have love and hate relationship with deity worship. Even those who are theists, a lot of theists are there who don't believe in deity worship. I know my father was, he's from Arya Samaj, and they didn't believe in deity worship. When I came to Krishna consciousness, I remember, I was going to the temple for one whole year in Dublin, and they had deities. But I never knew they had deities. Strange. I mean, their Gornitai deities were maybe of this size, Kirtaniya. The Gornitai, they were our little Chota Gornitai like that, yeah? And I never knew that somebody was there. For me, devotees were everything. Devotees, preaching, all that. So I never knew there were deities there. I know what I did when I was facing the altar. I know what I was seeing. Maybe I would never face the altar. Maybe I don't remember much. But I do remember, I never remember seeing deities there. And then even when I moved to Philly Temple, so there they have big deities, so you can't miss them unless you're blind. They're big Lord Jagannath, Radhashad Bihari, they're, big, no, they weren't big Gornitai, little Gornitai. Bigger than our Gornitai, little Gornitai here. But there were Chota Radhesham there, Chota Radha Krishna, Radhashad Bihari. I didn't know they existed there. till one day I remember somebody's talking about the little deities, I'm like, oh. Oh, okay, there was a lotus, marble lotus petal, and the deities were standing on there. But Krishna purifies you. But I was thinking, I wanted to talk about deity worship. When I'm talking about today about Krishna, I'm talking about Radhe Shyam. I'm talking about Krishna Balaram, Shishi Gornitai, or I'm talking about, you can think about your own deities at home that you worship, your own little Radha Krishna, or your Nimai Nitai, or, your Giriraj, you may think about them. So, but when I'm talking about Krishna here today is about our deities. I was thinking that how, actually, hold on, wait one second. Oh, back to Hiranyaksha. One thing I was thinking, again, giving some credit to these demons. Hiranyaksha, he accepted Varaha as God. I mean, that requires some broad-mindedness. That requires some acceptance. Because Varuna, they've told him that that Vishnu is there in the form of Varaha, and he accepted. So he accepted the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kamsa, he accepted that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He accepted him as a person. And he was meditating upon him. So you have to give credit to these demons for accepting the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as I was saying, for me it was like, I didn't know that Krishna was there. But thinking about how to, as sadhakas, we're trying to come to the realization that Radhe Shyam are Krishna and Radharani standing right there. I know. I'm a sadhaka, so I don't have that realization, but at least I notice they are there, and at least I love to do service for them. But they are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I've been thinking about how to encourage ourselves to our sadhana to be able to see that our deities are Krishna themselves. How to develop that relationship with Radhe Shyam or our deities at home as Krishna themselves. Many times I was thinking that at our dinner table, and that's just me and Sesha Prabhu, this topic has been come up about Krishna being our protector. Is what does that mean, Krishna is our protector? Again, Krishna meaning Radhe Shyam. What does it mean Krishna is our protector? Or what can we ask him to protect us from? Or what can we pray to Krishna?
what is all right and what is not all right. Because naturally our emotions, our love and affection is there for our friends and family, and we're concerned, and our, at least I can say for myself, the emotions, the intellect part is there when studying the scriptures and everything, but when it comes to emotions, they are more tied in towards our friends and our family. So the question comes up, what is fine? What is all right? So I reminded just recently, this came up just most recent when Sesha Prabhu was asking me some things about what is all right to pray and stuff like that. So I reminded him that a couple weeks before that, on near to Balaram's appearance day, you know, I got very sick. And I slept in faraway room, so I didn't wake him up in the middle of the night. So next morning he asked me, he said, so how was your night last night? And I said, it was terrible. I mean, it was terrible. All night long, I coughed. And literally all night long, I coughed. As long as I was sitting at 90 degrees angle like this, I was fine and coughing now and then. But as soon as it went from 90 to 91 degrees, cough started. And that's how it was all night. So he said to me, why didn't you wake me up? I'm like, why would I wake you up? Doesn't make sense. But he asked me three times, why didn't you wake me up? Well, I had all the medicines, allopathic, homeopathic, Ayurvedic, my own medicines that I made. I got even Gurdas's medicine. I was taking that. I had all medicines, and nothing was working. And I was drinking like a drunkard. I didn't care what it did to me. I kept on drinking, but nothing was helping. But he said, why didn't you wake me up? Now, I can understand. He's my husband, and he cares for me, and he wants me to wake him up. Now, can he do anything for me? Except me, well, giving me support. But as far as me waking him up, it's just going to put me more in anxiety. Why should I wake him up? So he's expressing his care and love for me by saying, why don't you wake me up? What is Krishna to us? Who is Krishna to us? Who is Radha Shyam to us? What is the kind of love that they have for us? Bhaktivinod Thakur, in his beautiful bhajan, Manasa Deha Geho Jokichimor, in the second last verse, he says, what is Krishna? Who is Krishna to him? He says, Tuhu Sarva Moe, you're everything to me. But then he delineates, what is everything? So he says, Janaka Janani, your father. Janani, your mother. Janaka Janani. Daita, he is our lover. Tanaya, he's our son. Janaka Daita Tanaya, Prabhu Guru Pati, he's our Lord. Guru, he's our spiritual master. Pati, he's our husband, he's our protector. He's everything, he's our friend. He's everything to us. Radha Shyam are everything to us. So if a conditioned soul, a husband, who wants me to wake him up, I get a cough because he loves me, he cares for me, what do you think Radha Shyam wants me to do? You think he wants me to wake him up? Yeah. Do you think he wants me to tell him, oh Krishna, I have a cough, could you help me out? If he is everything combined, then we can't understand, it's hard for us to conceive the amount of love he has for us. The amount of love that he has for us, the fact that he comes in the deity form is because out of love for us, to invoke love from us and to give love to us. That's why he comes as Radhe Shyam. I think that Radhe Shyam were installed in 2000. So, yeah, 2000, yeah. It's been 25 years since Radhe Shyam has been installed. They've come here, they are presiding deities, and they've come here to invoke love from us and to give love to us. So is it all right to wake Krishna up? Is it all right to call him? Queen Kunti's prayers are very amazing. I mean, we know that Prabhupada gave the longest classes on there. But specifically, I wanted to mention one prayer that I thought that it was very personal to her. He says, "My dear Krishna, your lordship has protected us from a poisoned cake, from a great fire, from cannibals, from the vicious assembly, from sufferings during our exile in the forest, and from the battle where great generals fought. And now you have saved us from the weapon of Ashwatthama." Now, besides the very last one prayer that she's talking about, Ashwatthama, where she is there and Krishna is personally present, in all the other things she mentions, Krishna was not, from my understanding, Krishna was not personally came and took care of things. But she knows that Krishna took care of those. That's why she says in the next prayer that let all those calamities come again and again. Because she, I would think, my speculation, she cried out to Krishna. Actually, Prabhupada does mention one of the purport, if I remember correctly, that as family, we naturally have affections and everything, and so we call out to Krishna. So she called out to Krishna. She knows that it was Krishna who saved them from each and everything. So what is she saying, Krishna? What is she saying to Krishna? "Thank you for protecting me from all these different things that I went through physically, that my family went through." She's thanking Krishna, and she's saying, "Let them come again so that I can call you out. So I should let this cough come out." I don't think so. I really called out to Krishna when my cough was. But thinking about this class has really, really, to be honest, helped me in my relationship with my Giriraj, in my relationship with Radhe Shyam, to understand that the love that Krishna has for us is so much. And what does Krishna want us to do? So it's not, and Prabhupada says in the Nectar of Devotion, because we wonder how does Krishna feel about when we call out to him? Prabhupada tells us how Krishna feels when we call out to him. He says that he talks about Krishna's quality as being grateful. So in the Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada writes, in Mahabharata, Krishna says, "When I was away from Draupadi, she cried with the words, 'Hey Govinda,' and this call for me has put me in her debt. And that indebtedness is gradually increasing in my heart." So if you want to know how Krishna feels when we call out to him, even when we're trying to protect ourselves, she's protecting her self-respect in front of this vicious assembly. And she calls out to him and she puts her hands up and says, "Krishna, please help me." Krishna feels indebted to her. And so this is in calamities, but in those same prayers that Kunti says, Queen Kunti describes, she also says that she's thanking Krishna. She says, "All these cities and villages are flourishing in all respects because the herbs and grains are in abundance. The trees are full of fruits. The rivers are flowing. The hills are full of minerals. And the oceans are full of wealth. And this is all due to your glancing over them." So she's thanking Krishna for everything that is positive in her life. She thanks Krishna for all that is negative in her life. She has a relationship with Krishna. Again, Krishna means here, as I say, she has a relationship with Radhe Shyam. She has a relationship with her deities. Her deity is Krishna, that she sees him in person. So she is calling out to Krishna for everything. I heard from Yadubar personally. Yadubar Prabhu was saying that how, I'm not good with details, but maybe it was in India, and maybe Yadubar Prabhu bought himself a dhoti or a chadar, something like that. And Srila Prabhupada told him to go and offer it to Krishna. So, how do you offer a dhoti to Krishna that you bought for yourself? Why do you offer a dhoti to Krishna that you bought for yourself? Different people might think about offering the dhoti or a sari or anything for that matter to Krishna in a different way. One may think, okay, let me put that in front of my deities and ring the bell and say the mantras. And that's my offering to Krishna of my dhoti or my sari or whatever. One may think, I bring it up and I say, thank you, Krishna, for giving me this dhoti, sari. Thank you so much. And I want to thank you for everything. That all those things, depending on your relationship with Krishna. And then if you get a very personal relationship with Krishna, you say, look, Krishna, what I got for it. I got a sari for myself. Look at this. Do you like this dhoti? Do you like this sari? By the way, I'm going to get a car. I need a car. So I'm looking at cars, and could you help me find one? Oh, I got a new computer. Look at that. I'm planning to get a new computer, Krishna. I have to give a class tomorrow. Can you help me out with this? It's your relationship. Ultimately, we want to love Krishna not because he's God. We want to love Krishna because he's Radha Shyam. He's so beautiful. That's why we want to have a relationship and love Krishna, because he's Krishna. But how do we develop this love for Krishna? Krishna says, man mana, man. The very first thing he says, man mana. Think of me. And I've been like really thinking about, not thinking about Krishna, but I'm thinking, how do I think about Krishna all the time? What does it mean? And thinking about this class has been really like churning things in my head. How do I think about Krishna? Our shastras tell us about how to think about Krishna all the time. Because sometimes the tendency is, at least, and I'm saying again, Krishna means deity form. Radhe Shyam, and at our home, our Giriraj, our Girirani. That's what I think about when I'm thinking relationship, because Krishna comes in that form to evoke our love. He comes in so many forms. Krishna is so kind. He comes in so many forms. Krishna is non-different than his holy name, so he comes in the holy name form. So he's so kind that he comes in all different forms, including deity form, that we can actually serve him in different ways. I thought I was saying something, but my thought process kind of disappeared. But the fact is that anyway, we can manmana. So how do we think of Krishna? How do we always think of Krishna besides just when we're reading about him, or we're coming and seeing his deity form, or we're chanting for him? How do we think of Krishna all the time? So this is my conclusion. How we think about Krishna all the time is by, first of all, accepting where I am at. I'm not a pure devotee that I don't ask Krishna, that I won't wake him up, that I'm having trouble with my cough. I'm not on the pure level that I want my friends and family to do good. I have affection for them. And so I am going to ask for their well-being. I am going to ask. And who do I ask? I ask Krishna. Otherwise, if I don't approach Krishna, then what am I thinking? Oh, my homeopathic medicine will take care of me. Oh, my allopathic will do it. Oh, my Ayurvedic, all these things will do. Oh, my ginger and my Brahmastra, all this is going to help me. This is what I'm thinking. I'm going to take care of it myself. I mean, Pushkar Prabhu was yesterday was saying, Prabhupada was saying, your hand is not yours. So if I don't approach Krishna for every little thing, if I don't express thanks to Krishna, Krishna as a person, not as a concept, I know my tendencies, generally tendencies to think, it's like, I say Krishna is very kind, because I feel Krishna is very kind. I thank Krishna. But sometimes I think it's more of a concept, the concept Krishna, but not Krishna the person, not Krishna, not Radhe Shyam, not Shishi Krishna Balaram, not Shishi Gaur Nitai. It's the concept Krishna. And so, so in my thinking, when Prabhupada said, asked Yadubhart Prabhu to offer that, is that we offer everything, yad karoshi, yad ashnashi, yad juhosi, tada, everything we go and approach Krishna. One of the things I started doing is, again, it works. When I come in and out of the house, I'll say, Jai Giriraj, I'm here, I'm back, I'm going out. I mean, we do that to our family members, yeah? Okay, I'm leaving right now. But what about our family, the real family member that we have who's Janaka Janani, Daita Tanaya? He's everything to us. What about him? What about acknowledging him? What about telling him I'm going? What about coming and seeing him here in the deity form every day? Prabhupada talks about this family, how very big business family, rich family, and the mother had the rule in the family: if you don't go and see the deities, then you get fined, and you get fined according to what is your position. If you're the big man in the house, then you get fined 100 rupees or whatever, and then you're the younger one, you get fined 50 rupees, and like that, you know. And the priest would do that. If they didn't come, he would give them a bill. You know, here you are. This is your fine. You know, collect the money. So we should come and see Radhe Shyam. They're here, personally present. And for some reason, if you can't come every day, Krishna is so kind. That doesn't even say in our Shastra, the virtual avatar of Krishna. But Krishna does come virtually. Now he sees what we are, and you go on your phone and you can virtually have darshan. And I personally don't think that darshan is virtual if your heart is not virtual. If in your heart you're feeling that you're having darshan of the deities, Krishna is there. You're having virtual darshan? No, you're having real darshan. So if you're not able to come here every day or any day, go on your phone and have darshan of Krishna every day. And I guarantee you, full money back, guarantee. If you see Krishna, go online and see Krishna and have darshan every day, you will develop attachment for him. You will develop relationship. You will have a relationship with him. Eventually, somehow or other, you will come here and to see. But you have to do that every day. They say to make a habit, do for 30 days or something, I've heard. So do that every day. Every day go online and have darshan. And we have such nice darshan. Go and see him. The camera focuses on everything, from lotus feet and all the deities. And in the end comes to Lakshmi Nrisinga and Prahlad. I mean, you have darshan every day. You will feel connected. So these are some of my thoughts about developing a relationship with Radhe Shyam. I would like to read something in the very end here. I will, because of time, I'll just read short part of it. Srila Prabhupada writes in the seventh canto, in the ideal family life, and he translates something that Narad Muni speaks to Maha Yudhishthir. And we know Srila Prabhupada, sometimes his translations are his bhavartha, not literal translations. So I like how he writes in the text itself this, and I will shorten the text also. The sacred lakes like Pushkar and places where saintly persons live, like Kurukshetra, etc., and the places where Lord Ramachandra and Mother Sita took shelter, such as Chitrakoot and other places, all of these are to be considered most pious and sacred. Then he writes, similarly, places outside India where there are centers of Krishna consciousness movement and where Radha Krishna deities are worshipped must all be visited and worshipped by those who want to be spiritually advanced. One who intends to advance in spiritual life may visit all these places and perform ritualistic ceremonies to get results 1,000 times better than the result of the same activities performed in any other place. And then in the word-to-word, I also wanted to mention, he writes, Archa Ashita, and he translates, places where the deities of Radha Krishna is worshipped, such as big American cities like New York, Los Angeles, and San Francisco, and European cities like London and Paris, or wherever there are centers of Krishna consciousness like our own new Ramanirti Dham with Shishi Radha Shyam, Krishna Balaram, and Shishi Gornita, and Lakshmi Narsingha, and Srila Prabhupada, and everyone else. Thank you very much. So, like to hear some comments, realizations on this particular topic. Yes, Sri Vikram Prabhu.
Very interesting. But sometimes you look on the other side. You don't raise a lion to run after mice, or you don't ask for broken glasses when you could get gem. So you don't approach the Lord for petty things. You know, I mean, we're taught this way, right?
Yep, you're absolutely right.
But within your class, you were making the point that, well, whatever is affecting you, you approach the Lord, you know? So how we balance the two philosophies?
Very, very good question. Thank you, Thiva Kamprabhu, for that question. It's a very good question. And in that sense, Queen Kunti also shows the example of that. She says, in her prayers, she says, after she says that, and here Krishna is leaving her and her, the Pandavas, and he goes to the Vrishnis, which is also her family. So she's attached to her family, and she wants Krishna to be there and stay there for her family, her marriage family. But now he's going to the Vrishnis, which is her family that she grew up, her, you know. And so her conclusion is, Atha Vishveshwa Vishvatma Vishwamurti Svakeshume Sneham Pasham Imam Chindi Dhridishu Vrishnishu and Pandushu. She's saying, oh Lord, please just cut off this tie of affection. Please cut it off. And then she says, Tvai me ananya vishaya matir madhu pate sakrit ratim udvahatad adha gange vadham udanvati. She says, let my heart, my conscience, let it all flow towards you like the Ganga flows towards the ocean. So the prayers are complete. So that's your point, is very important point that you brought up, that yes, we have these attachment to our family, to our friends. We have this attachment, just like Kunti has attachment. So we do approach them, because we can't do anything ourselves. But let our prayers be complete. So yes, we have to complete our prayers by saying the other prayers. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his prayer, Prabhutava Pada Yuge, he says a prayer. First he say, Ei Matra. He basically says that this is my only prayer. My only prayer is that let there be a hetuki bhakti, let there be unconditional devotional service sentiment towards you, O Krishna. But then he says, after he says that, I wonder if I have that here on my notes. Ei matra asha mama tomara charane ahetuki bhakti hirde jage anukshane. Every moment let there be ahetuki bhakti. But then he says, vishaye je priti ebe achaye amar sei mata priti hoy charane tomar. Very beautiful. He says, vishaye je priti, whatever priti I have in sense gratification, in other words, any affection, attraction, anything that I have for in this material world, which is family and friends and house and whatever, anything attraction I have, sei mata priti hoy charane tomar, let that affection be towards your lotus feet, my dear Lord. So yes, our acharyas tell us. So he, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is saying, I have affection, but let all that affection that I have, let it be towards you. So we do everything. We approach Krishna when we are in distress. Prabhupada says in I think when Nanda Maharaj was, when Vasudev told Nanda Maharaj that you go, because you should go back soon because there might be some trouble. And so Nanda Maharaj was thinking, there could be some trouble. And so he was really like praying. And Prabhupada said something to the point that, something saying that the devotee, when he's in distress, he really prays to Krishna, you know, more anxiously. So yeah, we should pray to Krishna for whatever it is, and we should thank Krishna, and we should celebrate with Krishna when whatever we get. But in addition to that, with your very appropriate question and very important question, yes, we should also pray to Krishna that take our ties, cut our ties, chindi. Cut them. That's what Queen Kunti says. Thank you. Any other? Yes, Didi Muni Prabhu. You're going to bring some light to all these things.
Sure.
Yes.
So I caught most of the class on the radio, so I'm not sure I got this whole thing. But were you saying that, like, whenever we get a cough, better than waking up Shesha, we should go wake up the deities?
What do you say? Well, I think you know what that means. You really want me to tell you? I'm not going to wake him up. I appreciated his love and care. But I can call out to Krishna. The nice part of it is calling out to Krishna in his name, that he's non-different from Radhishyam. So yeah, I can call out to Krishna. I'm not going to ring the bell and wake my Giriraj up, no. Do both?
Yeah.
Let me meditate on that and I'll get back to you about whether we should or not. Yes, Shigarangi.
Beautiful class, thank you. I appreciated mostly how simple and easy you presented calling out to Krishna, I mean, with your personal story. And it reminded me of this quote that Srila Prabhupada gave to Brahmatirtha Prabhu one time, when I think Brahmatirtha Prabhu was expressing that, you know, he had written the, he had asked all of those questions from perfect questions, perfect answers.
Mm-hmm.
And he still wasn't sure about Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada said, Srila Prabhupada said to him, Krishna consciousness is so simple, you might just miss it.
I mean, even like just recently, we on Radhashmi Day or something, the question came up. Shruti Rupa Mataji mentioned about how Prabhupada said, you know, you go and approach Krishna and tell everything about your day. Tell him. He's a person. The more we do it, as I said, the more we do it, the more we will see that we do develop a relationship and we can think about Krishna. Yeah. Thank you for your comment. Yes, Sarah.
My question is about these 9 processes of devotional service, mm-hmm. chanting being one of them, and deity worship being another one of them. And sometimes it seems like we talk about chanting in the context of one of these 9 processes, and chanting includes reading and discussing and just talking about Krishna. And then other times it's spoken about as if, no, it's chanting the Lord's names, the Yuga Dharma. And mm-hmm. so I'm just wondering if there is some, if there is like a difference between those two things, if in the broader scheme of chanting, when you're talking about Krishna as one of these 9 processes, these are cyclical ways to enrich our chanting the Maha Mantra, which is the actual, like, I'm wondering if you can maybe...
My understanding is the words are Shravanam and Kirtanam. So Kirtanam means glorifying. So whether the glorification is we're chanting our japa, whether glorification is... we are doing kirtan in the sense of with instruments, or whether we are hearing Srimad, reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, expressing, talking, giving class, or we just come together and we're doing reading, all that comes under kirtanam, and all that is chanting. Because the word is kirtanam, which means glorification. So kirtan, when we talk about kirtan, it also means giving class, hearing class. That's also kirtanam. So my understanding, all of it is important. All is included. And that's why you can see Prabhupada gave us the process. He gave us everything. Chanting on our japa, on our beads, doing kirtan in front of the deities, doing Bhagavatam class. All those are there, part of kirtanam. All those are important. And certainly we take certain vows, chanting a certain number of amount on beads, but then Prabhupada also said we have to do that all the time. He says we should chant 24/7, and we should do kirtan 24/7, and we should hear Bhagavatam 24/7, and we should do deity worship, So all the things we do 24/7. Yeah. So all are important.
So the Yuga Dharma is kirtanam. It's not chanting the Maha Mantra. It's a kirtanam, glorification in whatever form that becomes.
And the main form is chanting the Maha Mantra. And all. Everything is included. There you are. It's the same. Yeah. But we can't think that, okay, I'm just going to hear Bhagavatam class and not chant anymore. So it is one and it is different.
Okay, this is the last one.
Yes, Mataji. Yeah, you have informed the establishing the love with Krishna. So, so only the way is we have to talk to the deity is also one of the way of establishing the love, right? And
yes.
Talking to the deity, and what are the ways are there? And someone has suggested while getting to the sleep in the night, completely think about Krishna and fully conscious into Krishna, and then get to sleep. So,
yes.
So next day morning, all we wake up, tell Krishna, Hare Krishna,
yeah.
or Hare Hare, those things. So, I want something, some more points on how to establish the love completely with Krishna.
Well, I guess that was the class about, but couple things I can mention. Again, like Prabhupada specifically said, that you go to the deities and say, my dear sir, here's what happened. This is what we did today. This is my situation. That's one way you can establish your relationship with Krishna. Hearing about Krishna is another way to establish. You hear about Krishna. And then you think, oh, Krishna killed... and really, if you think that way, oh, Krishna killed Hiranyaksha. We're hearing about that, yeah? We're hearing about how Hiranyaksha was ready to smash, you know, saying some such mean words. And then we hear about how Lord Varaha killed him. So one way that you can establish when you're hearing something like that, you can think, oh, that is our Shyam did that? Our Shyam is Lord Varaha? And he's the one, he looks so sweet and gentle and, you know, but our Shyam, he's the one who killed Raha. He has that potency. So these are the ways that we can, as we hear about, we can think about Radha Shyam, that they are the ones. When things good happen, then you think, oh, it's a Shyam who took care of it. Krishna Balaram helped me out. Whatever good happens, you think, oh, thank you, Krishna, for doing that. This is how you can develop. And you hear about, Prabhupada said about before you go to bed, you hear about, you read from Krishna book. You hear Krishna's pastime. So we learn about, we hear about Krishna and what he does, what his activities are. You read Nectar of Devotion, such a nice book, tells you all the qualities about Krishna, how he is so kind, he is magnanimous, he speaks all the languages. You want to know about Krishna, you read Nectar of Devotion, it's so beautiful. You get to know about Krishna and then you realize, oh, it is our Shyam who can speak all languages. And he, you know, these are the things that we can think about when we come and see Radha Shyam, and we can think him. He's a person there. He knows when you come and you don't come. You know that? When you come here to the temple, he knows. He sees you. And we don't come, he also sees you that you haven't come.
Yeah. That's what. When we go to the bed, the next day wake up also, it's Krishna decides. Woke up, he knows. Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much for your kind attention. Hare Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.